Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC 913 on a Tuesday morning. Ray in for Joe today. It's the Roundtable panel, and we will get to the panel in a moment. But, you know, time is getting short here on our lockbox. The fun drive starts on Monday, Alan.
Why do you keep using the word short in everything you say? Is that directed at me?
There's no reflection.
He's just warming up for the
Are
fun
you
drive.
Cast no reflection?
No reflection on anyone in the room, actually.
No. Okay, so anyway, ladies and gentlemen, here's the deal. We love you, and we know you love us, and we know that's why you're listening right now, because we are all together in this. We have done remarkably well. We've raised $400,000 as of this morning in the lockbox. That's phenomenal, and that's you, and we love you for it. Now, in order to get halfway in the drive, and fill the lockbox with $500,000, which has always been our objective here, we need to do it by next Monday morning at 6 o'clock. And that is not going to be easy. It never is. We have 500,000 listeners to this radio station. It's incredible. Every month, 500,000 discrete listeners. That's something. And of those people, if everybody did a little, we'd be done. We probably wouldn't have another fund drive for another year. But in the end, it comes down to the people who really believe in the experiment. And it is a fragile experiment. You know it. Now, what's going on in this country, to me, is really just so depressing. And I believe it with a lot of other people. People say to me, wherever I meet them, I can't watch the television anymore. I can't stand it. I just can't do it. And I assume some people say, okay, and I don't want to listen to the radio. But let me tell you, this radio station is more important right now than it has ever been. I don't have to tell you what you don't know. You know it. I know it. This radio station is a place where we're gonna do it, and we're going to do it right. And it is just a matter of not letting anybody get on our case. Now, I have to tell you, a couple of meanies have been writing me every night in the middle of the night. They get out, they come out of the hole wherever they are, and they write me a letter. We're going to ignore them. We're going to follow the advice of Dr. Alan Miller, who always says, follow, you just do what's right, you just run your own race, and that's what we've always done. So this morning, I have to say, it is incumbent upon us that we will do everything we can to get $425,000, because we have to make $25,000 every day to get for the rest of this week to get there. So this is no fooling around time, and all I'm asking is that everybody does something. I just met a woman, a wonderful woman, who said to me, I don't have a lot of money, but I put $20 in the lockbox. And I was so pleased. I met her over at the Guthrie Center the other night. And I was so pleased to hear it, because it just showed that somebody does what she did what she could do. And I'm asking that you do something. It is lethargy. If people don't turn out in this election, it'll go bad. I'll tell you that right now. People have to turn out. They have to go out. They have to vote. They have to work for candidates. Donald Trump is going all around America right now, working for endangered congressional candidates. Whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, you got to get out. You got to do it. And that's the way to energize the system and to make it work. And the only way to have this wonderful radio station, and we all know it, is to put something into that lockbox. So I'm asking you, just do it now. Go to WAMC.org. Right there. It's so simple. It'll tell you exactly what to do. Or you can call 1-800-323-9262. I never remember whether I'm on Vox Pop
We're in the Vox Pop studio, yeah. And I share your pain. Yes.
1-800-323-9262. I'm just asking everybody understand what's at stake here. So much is at stake. We can't let this go. So I'm asking, Alan is asking you to get to a phone and say, okay, I'm going to do this. When you take a look at the list of people who have been here incredible amounts of time, Wanda Fisher has been here 29 years, Brian Shields 29 years, Selma Kaplan 27 years, Tim Coakley 26 years, Josie Slavinsky 25 years, David Gustina 23 years, Joe Donahue 23 years, Pat Bradley 22 years, and you, Ray Graff, yeah, of all people, 21 years.
21 long years.
And the great And the great Ann Piccolo. You may not know her, but she brings in a ton of money for this radio station, and she's been here for 21 years. And, you know, Nick Barr and the great Bluegrass, and Zach Molloy, who sits in the control room with his hat on day after day after day, never looking up, always looking down. Yes. And Allison Dunn, our wonderful reporter, 15 years. Stacey Perry Rosenberry, with the greatest name in all of public radio. 13 years, and David Hopper, and Sarah LaDuke, our wonderful producer on this program, and on and on and on.
What about
and on.
You? You've been here about 70 years.
Well,
right?
I've been here so long, I've forgotten how to count.
Yes, before Marconi even invented radio.
Started in 1979, I believe, is when I first showed up.
Yeah.
Holy pushing almost 40 years.
That's right. It's the year after I got here.
So, WAMC.org is where you go to make your pledge, or you can call.
You got here, meaning born.
No, honey. Came to Albany in September of 78.
I didn't know what you meant.
800-323-9262 is the number if you want to call in your pledge. Now, the panel, by the way. We have a great panel today.
Oh.
We have, of course, you, Sir Alan Chartok, Associate Editor of the Times Union. Mike Spain is here, political consultant at Libby Post, and Tetherless World Professor of Computer, Web, and Cognitive Sciences at RPI, Jim Hendler. Jim, what does tetherless mean?
Just a name. Let's leave it at that.
No.
What, you never,
right, sir?
You
one of my colleagues likes to call it untethered.
Untethered. What, you unhinged. You'll get a lot of that around here.
Unhinged is really more like
we're going to talk about the unhinged.
What, you never played the greatest game in all time?
Tetherball?
Tetherball.
Sure, sure. Yeah. And lawn darts, but that's another story. The email address is panel@wamc.org. panel@wamc.org. If as we get going here with the topics, you want to share your thoughts, keep them brief, don't abbreviate, one per day per customer, if you will. panel@wamc.org. Before we get to politics, which is often what we do on this program, the sad news continues in Schoharie. More than 1,000 people were in Riverside Park in Amsterdam for a Monday night vigil for the 20 people killed in a limousine crash. And Mike Spain of the Times Union has our latest details on that story.
So there's both, now there's two investigations actively going on into this horrific crash Saturday in the town of Schoharie where the 20 people were killed. 18 people were in a stretch limousine and two were pedestrians. And the first we know about, of course, is the National Transportation Safety Board, which could take a year, could take 2 years. They take a long time. They look into everything. There's a team on the ground in Schoharie now that are gathering evidence. They're going to be very deliberative in what they report. Led up to this and the things that caused this terrible, terrible tragedy over the weekend. But the New York State Police have opened a criminal investigation. According to state police and to records reviewed by the Times Union, the driver of the limousine was not properly licensed to drive that specific kind of vehicle. And it was a 2001 Ford Excursion that had been modified. It originally was off the dealer floor, it would hold 10 people, so it was a pretty big vehicle. And they had it modified where it could hold as many as 18 people, including the driver. And State Police Major Robert Patinode had a press conference yesterday, and he described their probe as a criminal investigation. They're examining whether negligence was a factor in the crash, and it could result in criminal charges if somebody is found to have been negligent that led up to this and contributed to this horrible thing. Also, Monday, state police investigators were out again at the scene along with the National Transportation Safety Board people, so they're continuing to gather it. Earlier yesterday, the big news was Governor Cuomo said the state is going to get a cease and desist order in court to keep the business that ran that provided the limousine, which is called Prestige Limousine of Wilton, which is near Saratoga Springs, from operating until at least the NTSB has and the state police complete the investigation. The troopers have seized all three of the firm's remaining limousines, and Cuomo said they don't know the cause of the accident, if it was a vehicle malfunction, a driver error, or what. Meanwhile, the owner of the company,
this is really
Shahed Hussein, is out of the country.
What's the guy's name?
Shahed Hussein. His son, Numan Hussein, has been operating the company, and he met with state police investigators yesterday, and he was accompanied by his attorney, who said that they won't comment, but they spent a lot of time discussing it, and they'll have other meetings, and they're trying to get to the bottom of it. The attorney suggested that the limo's driver may have been unfamiliar with the roadway and misjudged his ability to stop as he descended down Route 30 towards the intersection of 30A. Of course, there's been a lot of discussion about how dangerous this intersection is and how many accidents have happened there in the past. And they had restricted the size of vehicles that could be on it. No longer could tractor trailers take that route. But
Mike, what about this other guy who owns it and his involvement with the FBI and testifying?
Right, and that's a very interesting side angle to this. Hussein had been an informant in a very controversial counterterrorism sting in Albany back in 2004, where he worked as an undercover agent for the FBI, posed as an arms dealer to help them get two immigrants who lived in Albany. One was Yasin Aref. And
these are the two guys from Central Avenue?
Right.
The pizza shop,
so to speak. And Mohammed Hussein. Mohammed Hussein was a Bangladeshi who owned a pizza shop in Albany. And he and Aref were arrested. They were tried, and they were sentenced to prison. Aref was recently completed his term, and he went back to his he was deported basically as soon as he got out of prison. Owner of the limousine company also helped the FBI in another case in Newburgh a few years later, where some others were convicted. He was basically an informant for the FBI, and he's done that elsewhere for them also.
In Pittsburgh, for instance, where it failed.
Right. And that did not result in convictions. But so he's been, and he got into some trouble himself when he was accused back around 2002 of helping people fraudulently obtain driver's licenses, immigrants. And he was facing charges, deportation for that when he then was able to get that to go away by cooperating with the FBI. So he's an interesting person.
There's a question, Mike, as to whether or not, because he has cooperated with the FBI and others, he gets a deal here. Right. Whether this, I mean, I've seen this before, by the way. We had a case in New Paltz where somebody did something bad. And the FBI had apparently promised the professor that he couldn't be fired, but he was. So they do get involved sometimes, and I'm a little bit concerned that that might be the case here.
Well, I mean, that would be if they found that he was culpable or negligent in any way. And I think what the focus right now is that this specific vehicle, was inspected by the State Department of Transportation last March, past March. And again in September, just a little more than a month ago. Yes.
But, Mike, if you owned the vehicle
and
the vehicle failed,
failed
the inspection, see, and 20 people were killed as a result of that, so you might want to take a look at that.
Right. And the issue is whether or not it was repaired. The issue that they identified in the September 4th inspection was hydraulic brakes. A lot of problems result because here you have a car off the shelf, basically, or off the showroom floor that has these brakes, and then you expand it enormously, and then you fill it full of people, so it's a lot heavier than it was ever intended to be. And whether the brakes that were on it originally were suitable to support the extra weight coming down a hill is one of the things that they're looking at. And whether it was repaired, it's not known whether it had been repaired after the September inspection. Ordinarily, they get about 2 weeks, 15 days to get it repaired. And we're trying to find out if there was ever a follow-up to make sure that it was repaired before it was put back into service.
Well, Mike, isn't it up to the individual who failed the test? And that's only one issue here. The other is that the driver apparently was not licensed to do this kind of work.
That's right. He didn't have the right chauffeur's license.
I mean, you don't want to, what happened here, a lot of times they'll have certain certifications on their licenses that allow you to drive a truck, allow you to drive a bus. And in this particular case, he didn't have the proper certification to drive this particular
vehicle.
Which
was considered a bus because of the number of passengers.
Yeah, and so whether, you know, whether that's a factor in it, that'll be something that both the state police and the NTSB will determine. You know, and the terrible, terrible tragedy that unfolds here as we learn more and more about the individuals, most of whom were from the city of Amsterdam. You know, these were four sisters. There were newlyweds. A couple of newlyweds were there, young parents, best friends, all getting together for a 30th birthday party. And it just ended in this horrible tragedy.
And our Paul Tanco reduced to tears as he gave his eulogy.
Right. Paul Tanco, lifelong Amsterdam resident, the congressman from that district, knew many of the family members, and it was a poignant service last night at the bridge in Amsterdam.
Mike Spain is with the Times Union. Alan, we have about 20 seconds, so you can remind us what's happening with the fund drive, and then we'll get back to news.
Okay. Well, the only thing I want to tell everybody is that a very good friend of the station has said, okay, if you can make this $25,000 before 10:30 this morning, I'm going to give you $1,000.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's a $1,000 challenge, and we have to make $10,000 this morning before the end of this program. So we have an hour.
We have an hour.
WAMC.org is the website. You can make your lockbox pledge there. Don't look so fearful. We'll give it our best.
Okay.
1-800-323-9262 is the telephone number. This is the roundtable. Lots going on in politics and elsewhere, and we'll get back and cover that right after the news. Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. 9:34 on a Tuesday morning. Ray in for Joe. The panel today is Alan Chartok, Mike Spain, Libby Post, and the tetherless Jim Hendler with us today. President Trump has declared a reprieve for Rod Rosenstein, saying he has no plans to fire his deputy general manager, attorney general. Rosenstein's future has been the source of intense speculation since news reports indicated that in early 2017 he had discussed the possibilities of secretly recording Trump to expose chaos in the White House and invoking constitutional provisions to have him removed from office. Rosenstein, who oversees special counsel Robert Mueller's Russia probe, denied those reports. He traveled with the president yesterday on the Air Force One down to Florida for an international police chiefs conference. And the president said, well, I'm not making any changes. We had a very nice talk. We actually get along.
I think he knows he can't do this.
That's one way of looking at it, Libby. There's another way.
Which is,
what did they talk about? In other words, did Rosenstein take the fall?
Right.
Did he give him information about what's going on with Mueller? All of a sudden, to walk out with their arms around each other, you got to say, at least it raises the possibility that this may be problematic.
A little more collusion going on.
A little more reality TV.
He's entitled to talk to this employee of the Justice Department, right? They would talk often.
I'm only saying to you, Ray, that you can't make any assumptions about what's going on with Trump. We do know that Trump, as of this morning, and is now relying on Rudy Giuliani, who is going around talking to people who are involved in this investigation, which a lot of people think is unethical. He thinks is not. I think we have to at least, Ray, be fair enough to say what the possibilities are here when a president who is known for this kind of thing gets on a plane with Rosenstein and gets off and says everything is well. Possibility. That's all I'm saying.
The real question is, how did Rosenstein get back to Washington after he got his plane ride?
Yeah.
He left him there for the hurricane.
There was a C-10 waiting.
Well, you know, there are certainly possibilities, Alan, that Rosenstein has changed and is not the rigid professional that he has demonstrated himself to be throughout this up till now. I frankly see no evidence of why he would do that. He seems to be a man of integrity that has a career in the FBI, sure, and he's been sticking to it. So, you know, there might have just been politeness. And as you pointed out, he can't get rid of – I think Libby pointed out right away, you can't get rid of him now.
Right, you can't. Politically, it's a nightmare. But, you know,
it
the other thing –
stopped them before.
I know, Alan, I know. But the other part of this is that, you know – So is it that he can't afford to be fired? If Rod Rosenstein was fired, he'd become a news analyst in a heartbeat. People would pick him up. It's not like he would end up, you know, destitute or anything like that. So when you look at it that way, you know, I think that there's this...
Keep your enemies closer.
Right. Keep your enemies closer. And I do think there's still this notion, even after the whole Kavanaugh debacle, that the Republicans, in order to maintain some degree of credibility, need Rosenstein to stay exactly where he is.
That's very astute. In fact, it would be the Thank most. You. It'd be a politically. It'd be a political suicide for Trump before the election mm-hmm. to do anything that would compromise Rosenstein's, right. you know, ability to oversee the Mueller investigation.
Right. And what we all, you know, we haven't heard anything from Robert Mueller in 2 weeks because it's been Kavanaugh. We'll get back.
You never hear anything from Robert
well,
Mueller,
you know what
by
I mean.
The way.
You know, but you know.
That
you
guy know, not, is no, very, 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 very close to the
right,
vest.
Right, but there hasn't been anything, you know, because we've been overwhelmed with the Supreme Court hearing. But they've been doing their work.
Well, there is a good story in the New York Times, which Ray pointed out to us about what some things that went on during the campaign. So maybe we'll start mm-hmm. hearing more about that stuff.
Yeah. The email address here is panel@wamc.org if you want to weigh in. Panel@wamc.org is the email address. This was from CNBC. Democrats' advantage in recent polls may not bring the blue wave they're hoping for. Polls this year show that Democratic voters have become energized enough to swing control of at least one branch of Congress in the coming midterm. But data from past midterm waves suggest that Democrats could be headed for a disappointing November. To win back House control, they would need to pick up a net gain of 23 seats. Now, Jim, our tetherless fellow who does computer and web and cognitive stuff at RPI, they keep talking about the generic congressional question leading up to the midterms, and the gap is narrowing. What the heck good is a generic congressional question?
Especially when you have gerrymandering all over the place.
So, you know, the whole question of what's happening in the polls. So this is something we actually studied. You know, so I'm not a pollster. I'm a data guy. We studied the election data after. And what we found was, you know, so in 2012, the polls were, I mean, insanely accurate. Nate Silver, 538, I mean, was off by, what, one electoral vote or something. In 2016, it was all over the place. 2018, we don't know. And there's a lot of factors at work. But, you know, you, Alan, you, Libby, you know that a lot of what happens in the election is primarily getting your people to vote, right? And a little bit of maybe get the other guys to stay home. The Trump election was all about getting people to stay home. And that changed the balance tremendously.
Pew just came out with an incredibly robust study today, specifically on the fact that Trump won because everybody stayed home.
Yeah, the data showed that within 3 days of the election. I was actually on this radio station that you should support with a little five-minute piece about that. But here's the thing, right? Once something like that happens, that's going to be now become part of the body politic. So if you're a Democrat, there are Republicans who are going to try to make you not vote. If you're a Republican, they're now going to be Democrats who are trying to make you not vote. And if you're an independent, both sides would like you to stay home. And there's one way you can break that, and that's go out and vote. Right.
Why would the Democrats not want the independents to vote?
Right. I mean, that flies
the
in the face of
leaning
right.
towards the Democrats.
Right. That flies in the face of any good field operation in any campaign. And I do think this cycle, the Democrats are working the independent voters, the ones who have the high Democratic leaning scores, to get them out to vote.
I'm sorry, but the other part of this that is so interesting is the huge gap between women and men voters in the United States. It is now up to an historic 25% differential between women who really can't stand Trump and men who are by 1% for him.
Well, Trump would not be president had not white women overwhelmingly supported him as Republican women.
Yeah.
Right. Although, again, what you see is a number there. You see a percentage that says how many people. But that's of voters. Right. And what you realize is when you look at what the data shows is the number of women who didn't vote for Hillary. not who voted for Trump, yeah. who either stayed home, left the president blank, or voted for one of the third parties. And actually, the third parties don't look like they were what did it. What it really looks like is people who didn't show up or, Alan, you know the term undervote. So people sure. who didn't vote for anybody for president and then went and voted for senators and congresspeople. It was a staggering difference in the states that made the difference. In Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, you just saw very different numbers there than you saw, A, traditionally, and B, in the states that went the way they expected. So the states where the polling went how it was expected were mostly states where the voting patterns looked normal, and the states where you saw the polls go way up. So I think the this midterm, I don't think we're going to know much about the polls till close to the last minute, right. and it's probably the next day we'll be discussing why we got it wrong.
Let me ask you this.
You'll be in the audience.
I mean, weren't the polls showing right up to Election Day that the two lead party candidates, the Democrat and the Republican, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, were among the least liked candidates by most of the American people or something? Some mm-hmm. incredible result like that?
Oh, yeah. And you know, you had the winner get 3 million less votes than the loser, and 80,000
right.
votes.
right. I mean, it's the Electoral College.
I mean, just view the
That was the immigrants, wasn't it? Who voted
yes, it
illegally?
Was. They did. They all voted illegally.
If you went to SUNY Albany and you took the football stadium there and you filled it up for a big game, that's roughly how many voters changed this election
that's
for the
right.
entire country.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, just keep that in your
mind. But that's
not
the first time. I mean, I think that happened with Nixon in 68 and
Kennedy in 60. One vote per election district in every election district in this country is what got Kennedy elected.
Wow. Yeah. So it underscores the when you're thinking about not going out and voting and saying it won't matter whether I vote or not.
It does matter. There's, you know, our right to vote, the franchise, is one of the most important rights that we have. It's the most basic thing for us to be able to participate in our democracy and make sure that the minority has a voice. And it's really, there's not the tyranny of the majority. And we have to, we all just all have to get out and vote. And it does make a difference. And I understand how people can think, oh, what's my vote? What difference does it make? But look what's happened.
That's right. Well, and again, you know, Libby, you were saying, you know, wait, we want to get those people out. The problem is the other side wants to get them to stay home.
No kidding.
So
it's all about resources.
So what I really should have said for the independents.
And what would motivate somebody?
Somebody's trying to make it stay home.
Well, I don't think anyone is motivated to stay at home. But what strategy would encourage somebody not to come out? What do you think would be an example of how you would just keep the people on the sidelines, the middle of the road people?
The real negative advertising turns people off.
And particularly negative advertising that's targeted. So, right. So I was down in Virginia the week before the election.
Oh, God.
And so it's a swing state. And the Trump ads were Hillary's emails were found on the computer of a sex offender. Right now we know the real story.
Technically true,
but misses a few little points about this story.
Sure.
But now imagine you're a not very educated, mm-hmm. middle of the road voter, trying to decide. Just, you know that, and you're tempted not to trust. So these weren't ads to. So often negative ads are. Let me show you how bad the other person is, so you'll come vote for me.
Yeah.
Right. This was. Let me show you how bad the person is so you won't vote.
Well, and just look at the Delgado-Fazzo race right here and the ads that we're seeing. You've got the RNC making Delgado out to be a hood, you know, like, you know, the bad black man from New York City, plus he's, you know, Nancy Pelosi's pick. So you've got that going on. You've got the ads about John voting the wrong way on health care, right? Which, so they're making that statement. Then you have Mary Frances, his wife, come and do the front porch ad. Of John was with me when I had cancer diagnosis. He voted the right way. Blah blah blah. It confuses people, and that confusion
one
will
ad
make
right
some
after
people
the other.
Right, and they are right after the other, and it's confusing to some people, and they will stay home.
We need to take a quick break here. That's Libby Post, also joined today by Mike Spain, Jim Hendler, and Alan Shartok. This is the Roundtable Panel, and you can join in the conversation by emailing us panel@wamc.org. We'll be right back. Great Joe Pass. Yes, some nice bumper music from our engineer, right. Mike Bowen, on the round table. It's 9:48. Ray is in for Joe. We have Mike Spain, Libby Post, and Jim Hendler here, along with Alan Shartok. You can join the fun, if you call it fun, by emailing us, panel@wamc.org. And, Alan, we have some emails.
We do. Okay. So we have heard from Chris, who says, the appearance that the Democratic Party seems disorganized because it tries to represent the diversity of all of our country. Many different ethnic, religious, economic, etc. people have a voice. This makes it hard to appear unified. On the other hand, the Republican Party has a very narrow constituency with very narrow aims, representing a very powerful, very wealthy group of corporations, businessmen, lawmakers, and individuals that can stay focused on the wealth and power in its hands. This is probably obvious, but worth saying. Well, you know, I am concerned by the lack of reaction from the Democrats. I think one of the reasons that so many of our wonderful friends out there tell me that they're depressed and they don't want to turn the television on, and they may not even want to turn the radio on, is that they just are down in the dumps. And who is out there leading them? We know that Trump, who is a political, albeit evil genius, who knows exactly what he's doing, who he's targeting. Jim mentioned that, who he's targeting, and he's good at it. He's very good at it. So who is doing that for the Democrats? I don't see it. Roger says, with so much noise about the court and Trump, we seem to have forgotten the kids and families incarcerated by ICE. Is anyone following this tragedy? We've mentioned it many, many times on this program. Did yesterday a lot. The idea that, you know, that these kids are being put in these camps. Mm-hmm. Terrible.
Yeah, I mean, what people may forget is that they still have not reunited hundreds of the children with their parents, right. Lost track of where they are, et cetera, maybe deported the parents already. And children are being moved, and they're being held in camps in Texas.
Rosenstein on the plane, and the Republicans were up in arms about Bill Clinton meeting with Loretta Lynch on the tarmac. Good point. And Ed says, why does this last week's election of Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court feel much more like a punch in the gut than the original election of Trump himself 2 years ago? This is a very good letter. It is because up to now, most people viewed Trump's election as a fluke, an anomaly that could be corrected, whereas Kavanaugh represents the threat of near-permanent enshrinement of hard-right conservatism, if not fascism, in the U.S. Is there now a foreboding that Trumpism in America will not pass in our lifetimes? Well, it was a tough defeat.
You have a core of people which is less than half the country who are not going to change and who are very committed. And yep. Then you have the rest that are all over the place. And the only thing that's going to work is if the Democrats can get out a message. I've heard you say this. Get out a message that's going to bring people together. Look mm-hmm. at what these young progressives are doing, right? Even people who aren't so sure they like their politics are getting excited by the people. We need good candidates out there, both sides.
And you need leaders.
And we need right. people who are going to care. You know, we need the people who are going to care more about the country than about their seat.
Who is
leadership.
Who is the Democratic leadership right now? Where is it? Who's taken it by the cudgels? Who's making it happen? Okay, so anyway, Sean says, what about the implications in the New York Times, WAPU, New Yorker, that Trump got loans from Deutsche Bank, private wealth side, the same side of the bank that laundered Russian money? Did Trump launder Russian money, Sean? Well, I think we're going to have to wait for the report to see that. And Mike says, the apology. In the ceremonial swearing in of Justice Brett Kavanaugh, Donald Trump decried what he called the politics of personal destruction waged against Kavanaugh. But isn't that exactly what Donald Trump has been engaged in since the first moment he came down the escalator at Trump Tower to announce his candidacy? It started with denigrating Mexicans, a disabled reporter, a judge with Hispanic roots who was born in this country. Isn't that what psychologists call projection?
Let's not even go there. Trump's use of hatred, of invective, of nicknames. I mean, the man understands modern media. He's a reality TV star, and he runs the country like it.
Art, and it's working. That's the terrible part of it.
It's working.
art says Trump image. So much of Trump's easy early positive image evolved from established institutions. David Barstow, New York Times journalist, who recently wrote about Trump family tax schemes in interviews, referred to the New York Times as an enabler of Trump with its 1970s positive articles about him, as well as government agencies not questioning early on about the Trump tax schemes and by federal and by the way President Clinton appointed Marianne Trump Barry, Trump's sister and a beneficiary of tax schemes, to the federal bench. You know, I don't want to get into this whole thing about the Clintons and story this morning about how the Clintons are going to make millions.
They're going on tour.
By taking it on tour. So Ray, may I just mention that we are really in the hole here, folks.
On the fund drive.
We've got a $1,000 challenge to get to 420 by the end of the panel. I don't know where we are, but I know we're not there. And in the whole lockbox part of this, we need about $98,000 to go.
To what? Get the halfway point of the drive?
The halfway point in the
beautiful.
Drive. Yeah. Well, it's beautiful, but if you never get there, it's not
well,
so
you
beautiful.
Make a point.
Yeah. Libby?
I just want to say, because we've been talking a lot about voting and all that sort of stuff, that this Friday is the last day to register to vote in New York if you want to vote on Election Day. So if you're not registered, there are two things you need to do. One, give to the lockbox. Two, go out and register.
I like that.
Well played,
Matt.
Well played. Yeah. Good job. You know, a lot of early voting already underway.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering what the Kavanaugh effect will be on the majority of people who have already voted or will vote.
That's a very interesting question.
Sure.
Whether it will help, as Mitch McConnell said last week on, after Kavanaugh was approved by the Senate as the next justice, he said, I want to thank the Democrats for giving us an issue that we can use to get our people out. You know, and at the same time, Kavanaugh may also bring people out for the Democrats and get them off the couch you know, overcome what Jim articulated about the campaign to keep you at home. It's really a big question, and we won't know the answer to until November, about whether Trump can be successful at what Obama was not successful at. Obama never succeeded in getting out the midterm vote and getting Democrats off the couch and getting them there. And Trump is going around doing these rallies trying to fire up people, but whether that translates into people going to the polls on Election Day, we won't know till then.
I think you're right. We won't know until then. But I think that there's more than just Obama wasn't able to get people out. Right now, there's more than that. There's all of this grassroots work that's going on. There's all these women who are so angry about the Kavanaugh Ford debacle, what happened, how she was treated. I think that there are going to be a lot of people. I think that the Kavanaugh thing is going to drive people out to vote on both sides. We have to remember, you know, Trump's core base is 30%, you know, and the rest of it's up for grabs. And we have our core base of maybe 40 to 45%, and it's those undecideds. But there are a lot of women out there who are angry, and there are a lot of people who are working on the grassroots. And we don't see that. We don't see it. We won't see it until after Election Day.
No, we won't. But here, look, if people are telling me and you, Libby, that they're not going to turn the television on because they're so unhappy with what's going on in America, does that mean that they're also not going to march to the polls?
No, I think they will go out and vote.
I'm not so sure.
That's
because
a deceptive
they're so
number,
unhappy.
Though. That's a deceptive number because in New York, it doesn't matter. I mean, if 100% of the people come out to the polls, the Democrats will win in a landslide. Either way.
Yeah,
but
it's Ray,
there are congressional seats in New York.
Oh, Libby, thank God you're here. That's exactly right. It doesn't matter in terms of the presidency. What matters now is whether that House gets flipped. Because in my opinion, if the House doesn't get flipped, then Trump will never be held accountable. Right. So even if you happen to like a particular Republican congressman, and I've been saying this all along, you got to keep your eye on the idea, which Americans don't like to do, that if you don't flip the House, no investigatory committee, just the way we're watching it happen now, is going to take a look at what Donald Trump is up to.
The email address here is panel@wamc.org. Don't forget the lockbox is open at wamc.org. You can also call in your pledge at 800-323-9262. And, well, you know, we have a challenge on the table. We got to make 10 grand this morning. I don't know where we are. We'll find out after the news where we are.
We will.
In that challenge. We will take a break for news. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC. Welcome back to The Roundtable on WAMC. Tuesday morning, 4 minutes after 10 o'clock. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. Mike Spain is here. Libby Post is here. And the tetherless Jim Hendler is here. You can join us as well. Panel@WAMC.org. And before we get more of your letters, do want to remind you about the fund drive.
We do. Dear friends, we love you and we trust you. And we can't say it any other way except that we have a long way to go. This week, and we only have basically 3 days left. We have 4 days, and then we have the weekend. In order to get halfway in this drive, and fill up the lockbox, we need you. And I don't know any other way to do it except to say to everybody, you're the friends, you're the people who've kept it going, you're the people who we depend on to make it work. And this is Alan. I can do nothing else than I've ever done during this time, except we really do need you. And I invite you, I ask you to say, not for the money so much, but to understand the concept of what we have here. So much of America is being taken over by corporate interests and by all the others who would do what would keep those people who have the most getting more. And it is WAMC that is holding the line. It is the little train who could, and you've made it go all along. So I just say to each of you now, I'm asking you, because we need you terribly, right this minute, right within this half an hour, to go to those phones or at 1-800-323-9262. That's it. 1-800-323-9262. I'm going to say it one more time. Write it down. 1-800-323-9262, or go to WAMC.org, WAMC.org. Follow the prompts and put the money in. You know, folks, we've all done it together. It would be a terrible shame to lose what we have all made so good. Without you, we can't do it. So I'm asking each individual to do what they can to say, Alan, got your back. Got your back, station, Ray, everybody else who's there. We're going to make this happen because, after all, it's our station. And I don't mean ours as in Ray's and mine. I mean yours. 1-800-323-9262. Ladies and gentlemen, the moment of truth is here. Do we pass the test or don't we? Can you get on a phone and just say, I'm with you? I know how important this is, and if we lose this, we have lost a great deal. Call your mother, call your brother, call everybody who you know, and make sure that this happens. Ray?
The website, again, is wamc.org, and you can feed the lockbox there. Remember, the goal here is to, the long-term goal until Monday is to make halfway through the drive at $500,000 before
we start. We have to do that.
And the actual on-air fund drive begins on Monday morning at 6 a.m. We have a short-term goal to make $10,000 this morning.
We do.
In which, if we do, we'll get a nice challenge, a little bonus. And we don't know where we are yet. Someone will come in with the total.
I know Amber will come in with a figure of how. Because look, the one thing we've never tried to do is fool anybody. If in fact we're not doing well, you should know we're not doing well. If we're doing well, you should know that and have a good time knowing it. But, you know, good news is in precious short supply. And so everybody on a phone. 1-800-323-9262. I do see a breaking headline, Ray. What does it say?
We have CNN on here in the newsroom. It says, Nikki Haley resigns as UN ambassador. That's just crossing now. So that's the first I've seen of that news. We'll keep you informed as we find out more.
Now Nikki Haley has not been reticent about saying when she disagrees with this president. And maybe that's what's going on here. We don't know.
The email address on this program is wamc.org, and the panel is in full swing here. And a stack of letters there, Alan.
Okay. I think that with Libya, says Seth, I think that I think what Libby and others have been saying about Trump committing political suicide if Rosenstein is fired seems doubtful. It's amazing what Trump has been able to get away with so far. It's clear that he's rewriting what is possible for a president to get away with. With spineless Republicans and some Democrats in power, it's tragically sad. But I don't think it's clear what Trump can do in order to be put out of office. And that's Seth. Okay. And Fred says, hi, to the gentleman's comment regarding PA, MI, and WI, that's Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, I believe. A note, these are three of the six states whose voter tolls were racked, hacked and messed with by the Russians. Thanks, and that's from Fred. And Roger says, Rosenstein as media guest. It's just as interesting that you would suggest as a media commentary is that Rosenstein as a media commentator is interesting, maybe to the extent of George Stephanopoulos. Hope Hicks, who was in a late 20s rising star in communications for Trump during the campaign, until recently has now been signed as a spokesperson on Fox News. No, that's not exactly right.
She's going to be a communications person,
and they're going to put her out there in Los Angeles. And that's where it is, even though Fox News, which is being sold now, as you know, I believe Rupert keeps Fox News, but the rest of Fox is being sold.
To whom?
To ABC.
Huh. To ABC?
Yeah, that's right. To Disney.
That's interesting.
It's not clear to me whether this will be as a host of a program or just occasional talking head. No, neither. It seems to me there's a lot of musical chairs going on between the offices of government and almost semi-official network of the Trump administration. How long before Sean Hannity is offered up a high administration position? And Ann says, vote. A piece this morning on NBC News saw a reporter return to his hometown, Irvine, California, and approached a large group of students and asked who they were going to vote for in November. Only one person raised their hand. Oh, no, who was going to vote in November? Only one person raised their hand. Also, very few were registered. I couldn't wait to vote when I was 18, some 50 years ago. Very scary, says Anne.
And, yeah, it's a very deep challenge getting college students and people just turning 18 to get motivated to go out and vote. And, when they have other things going on in their life and they're somewhat cynical about both parties and the political system, even though they might have, be very motivated to do something positive in society, it hasn't translated into showing up at the polls.
So is this a failure of civics education? I mean, when I was
in high school, we were excited. It's a lack of civics education. Yeah. They don't do that anymore.
No, they don't. They stopped under Bush.
Yeah.
It has undermined the stability of our democracy.
It all goes back to Jim's premise. It's intended to encourage people not to show up.
We have always known, those of us who have been in the classroom have always known, it's almost impossible to get kids to vote. It's that simple. And John says, after the Bush versus Gore election, I saw a testimony of an employee of the ballot machine manufacturer testify in court that in Ohio, a software virus was used to modify the count. It deleted itself after running, removing any traces. He admitted to writing the software. If these units are so easily hacked, couldn't that be part of the reason why exit polls don't match the results?
So we did look into that, and it's pretty clear. So you've got three things going on. You've got voter suppression issues.
That's
in
one.
The sort of legal sense. You've got the voter suppression via advertising, and then you've got what's going on with the whole hacking thing. The whole electronic voting
thing. The fourth thing is the lockbox, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, of course, the lockbox. The whole electronic voting thing I'm not going to go into. I'm actually very involved in issues like that. One of my good colleagues is testifying in Congress tomorrow. But the bottom line is that you can't even look at the code running in these machines. They belong to the companies. If we had a federal rule that said, we can do this or that, voting belongs to the counties, it belongs to the states,
and
it's done, and it's controlled by the people who sell the machines.
Let me interrupt and just tell you right now. This is terribly important. We need $6,000 now to get that $10,000.
Okay,
to get
6, to that 10,000 in 15 minutes.
We only have 15 minutes to do it in, folks. I need your help now. We can't afford to let this go. So everybody get to a phone and say, look, Alan, tell Alan I called. Tell them all. 1-800-323-9262. That is so easy if we just decide to do it. If we decide not to do it, I don't want to tell you what it portends. So 1-800-323-9262. Libby, I'm sorry.
That's okay. So here's my question for you, Jim. I mean, I'd love to go back to the lever machines, you know, the ones that are a little more difficult. However, you go and vote in Albany County. Yes, they're electronic, but they're not attached to the internet. So how many of these machines are actually attached to the web?
So it's a very complex issue because, okay, the machine's not attached to the web now when you're voting. How do the votes get reported? It gets sent
to
the...
You open up and run the tape.
No,
they run a tape. In Albany County, because I've seen it, okay, they run a tape.
I don't know the Albany one.
Yeah, you run a tape, and the results come out,
right,
and those results are recorded,
right,
and the machines are sometimes impounded and sometimes not.
Sorry for interrupting, but 15 minutes, our lives depend on it, folks. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-9262. It ain't the Russians here. It's just us, each individual.
Anyway, let me. I won't get geeky about it, but it's where the information goes. It's what you can do in the place. I mean, so people have shown you can break into those machines right in the polling station from your cell phone, even though they're, quote, not on the internet, unquote.
Okay.
Things like that. But again, is it really happening? How much has it been done? Almost impossible.
Going back to Libby's point about the lever machines.
Yeah.
That, of course, presumably you can mechanically hack them as well, but... Doesn't a lot of this worry go away if you go back to the old mechanical method?
So if you go to anything which has a paper trail, okay? So, for example, online voting, if you don't have something where you also have to send something in, no guarantees. I hate to sound like a Luddite when it comes to this. You know, I'm usually the first guy to say put everything online. Not voting. We can't until we can decide how many votes are we willing to lose and how much money will we put into trying not to lose that, we can't secure those machines. So again, it's a real mess because you want the technology to get people to vote more, but you got to worry about that technology precisely because it can be hacked. Mail-in votes make the biggest difference.
Then did we start the nationwide electronic voting too early?
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Let me
it's
ask
still
you this.
Too early.
Jim,
yes.
Jim, you're around a lot of geeky college students, being at RPI. Do you think that one of the issues for college students is they can order pizzas, they can order a ride, they can get music, they can do anything on their phones or on their devices or on their PCs? Is it that voting is such an arcane practice that they just don't have the motivation to get up and walk physically to a place and do something mechanical? Is that a factor? I mean, if it was easier to vote electronically for them, would the millennials be out there voting?
Maybe. At the moment, that doesn't seem to be the biggest thing on the millennials. The younger kids, it might make a difference. But, you can register to vote online, vote.org and places like that.
Right.
You know what's the biggest thing that's ever got them to do it? Taylor Swift.
Right, I was just reading that.
Taylor Swift just tweeted, go register. So the next day, they had 65,000 registrations.
Yeah. Right.
In August, they had 59,000. Yeah. So more in one day.
And speaking of the results.
And the right wing, their head is exploding because of this.
Speaking of the results, I know Amber will come right in here right now and tell us how we're doing on that $6,000, which I just asked for. I need everybody doing something, whether it's $1,000 or $500. You need to do it now. And I know Amber will come in and give us the current total, because we only have 13 minutes to do it in, folks. And Jonathan says, the real work of reducing the voter turnout has been done. Make the lines long and close as many voting places as possible. Yep. And such, John. And Richard says, one Democrat who is inspiring many voters, pardon me, is Representative Beto O'Rourke in Texas, who's running against Senator Ted Cruz in Texas.
A congressman, and, yeah, he's been a good congressman.
Well,
in
and
Texas,
he's and, there are some polls which show him ahead.
Yeah,
I wish I could determine where to vote.
Amber.
I would if I could only cast one vote
okay.
somewhere in the country.
You'd vote for
I know
there,
I'd
right?
Vote, yeah.
Okay, we need $4,000 now. $4,000. We only have 13.
You know what? You know what you need? You need Taylor Swift to say 1-800-323-926.
All we have is schmoes like me. Polish schmoes. The blue wave is coming. We will flush the filth away. 2018 and 2020 will be successive waves, with 2020 being a tsunami. Decency will overcome degeneracy, and that's from Kenan Monson. And we have heard from, okay, that's $4,000 we need. If you can put $1,000 in now, or anything you can do wherever you are, do it now. Come on, folks, let's get it going. Sarah says, what keeps people from even registering to vote? One reason I've heard is fear-based, privacy, and possibly need to do jury duty. I've tried twice to encourage a friend of mine to register, and the deadline is nigh. To no avail. Any suggestions? Get a new boot.
Yeah, get a new friend. I mean,
tell them people are trying to make them stay home.
Right,
if they want to screw the system, go vote.
Matt says, politics is blood sport and the Dems do not know how to play. They will forever be the party of the coast, the gluten-free. Everybody is the special party. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the things I'm worried about, really worried about, and I see evidence of it, is as this depression sets in among Democrats and among others, they start to attack each other.
Oh, and, but that's and, nothing new.
Yes, but it's not good.
No, it's
and,
not.
And it's not good. And Jeremy says, I voted Democrat my entire life, but I'm ready to leave the party. They allow a clear advantage to slip right through their fingers with Brett Kavanaugh, just like they did in the 2016 presidential election. I'm done wasting my support on a party whose modus operandi is unenforced errors and failure. That's from Jeremy. Jeremy, if you say that, what do we got here? What do we got? Okay, now down to 3,500. Oh, boy, we're getting really close. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-9262. Really close. We only have 10 minutes, folks. 1-800-323-9262. Jeremy, I just think you're wrong. I think what happens when you say that, this is all my personal opinion, when you say that I'm done with politics, I'm done with doing it, you've basically given up.
Right, and you
and
let
you
the other side
the
win.
That's right.
Hey, the New York Times has finally put a story out about Nikki Haley. Maggie Haberman is reporting that she's resigned, but they're not saying why.
Well, that's the big issue, of
yeah.
course.
Yeah, but they do point out that she has spoken out and said things that are in contrast
yeah.
to
I
the
said,
president's policies.
I just
policies.
Said that, right.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, it's true.
I thought there were a bunch of other stories that have just come out in
that
the past hour questioning
stuff.
About an ethics issue. So
yeah, there might
be
airplane rides be. That she took or something.
Okay, and Aaron says, Libby, can't have it both ways. You can't have it both ways, Libby. Everyone should vote. In my opinion, it's most important. It's a most important right as a citizen.
I never said people shouldn't vote. No, I think everyone should vote.
Yeah,
they should
sure
just vote
did.
The right way. But
you,
they should
indeed
vote.
You did. And Jeff says, independence. I'm an independent voter who's thoroughly disgusted with Democrats' performance with the Kavanaugh hearings. The 11th hour allegations were completely uncalled for. On the other hand, if I were a senator, I would not have voted for Kavanaugh. He's clearly biased with a statement, you reap what you sow. Jeff from New Paltz. And Jed says, and from Copaic Lake, good morning. I feel I've missed something here. Senator Susan Collins reported that none of the FBI interviews of those individuals named as potential collaborators of Blasey Ford's testimony could substantiate one of her claims. Has the FBI report been accepted? If so, does Senator Feinstein have any culpability for releasing Blasey Ford's letter before confirming its contents? If this matter has already been covered by the panel, I offer my apologies.
Well, first of all, she says she did not release. She did not leak that.
And Kevin says, Mitch McConnell is the Joe McCarthy of our time, whipping up political panic and paranoia for basically un-American ideals, and that's from Kevin.
That's a little more scary because he's the Senate Majority Leader rather than just one errant senator.
Right.
Yep. 8 minutes now. 8 minutes to go. Kathleen says, voting, Libby, 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-9262. Tell him Alan sent you. Come on, gang, let's go. Libby is correct. The grassroots are working diligently like never before. Legions of door-knocking and phone-calling swing-left troops from three states are descending on New York 19, for example, to defeat Representative Faso. People who have never contributed to campaigns are giving small amounts over and over. Take heart! And Reed says, the silence of this critical time by Democratic leadership is very concerning. The progressives in this country, what do we got? 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-9262. It's coming down. It's coming down fast. 1-800-3. We needed $2,200. $2,300. That's what we need now.
Somebody just wrote in to say they put $100 in the mail.
Well, the mail is good, but right now it's got to be on the phone, 1-800-323-9262.
Can they give online, Alan?
They can give online at thank you, Mike, 1-800-323-9262 or wamc.org, as Mike suggests.
And I can tell you, if you pull over the side of the road, you can do this from your cell phone.
Yes,
because I did it just the other day.
Did you really? Oh, good for you. You can come back then. Good for you.
Yeah. Reed says Alan is correct. Alan spelled the bad way, A-L-L-E-N. That's not right. The silence of this critical time by Democratic leadership is very concerning. The progressives in this country need to stop worrying about how faux news will be characterized. Their legitimate outrage and pick a hill to die on. So ordinary people will realize they have someone fighting for them. All right.
Some articulate writers.
Okay.
So,
Bess says, please name other sources besides TV and radio which provide unbiased, tame information about candidates and issues on the November ballot. For example, the League of Women Voters. Thank you. Bess, a very frequent listener. I'm sorry, 6 minutes to go, $2,400. Come on, everybody. Move it. Move it. Hubba hubba. Call your mother. Call your brother. Let's go. 1-800-323-9262. Okay, here comes Amber with yet another thing. Okay. Now we need $700 to get that $10,000. $700.
How much time do you have?
We have
5 minutes.
5 minutes.
Okay, let Jim say what he needs to say.
Why?
1-800-323-9262.
Some things take precedence.
Senator, I yield my few minutes to Alan Chertoff.
1-800-323-9262. Otherwise, this field will lie fallow. 1-800-323-9262. Okay, Jim, say it in a minute.
All I can say, Alan, is we've been saying all along, go out and vote and go out and give to the lockbox. I'll just leave it there and not add anything new.
Okay, well, look, folks, we know that if we do... $600 right now, we will make it. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-9262 or go to WAMC.org. Or, folks, let's face it, it ain't going to be here. 1-800-323-9262. Libby.
You know, giving to WAMC is a form of voting.
Without question.
So people need to do it.
Same principle. You walk away, you say, let somebody else do it, you know what happens. 1-800, you get some guy on AM with a gravel voice in the morning telling you, how wonderful things are.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
That everyone's the enemy except white men.
1-800-323-9. I can always count on you, Libby.
Hey. 1-800-323-9262. I know who you're talking about.
9262. 1-800-323-9262. Okay, we only have... just seconds now. What a three and a half minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a very good substitute host, but you're not like Joe because Joe always keeps track of it on his computer.
I don't bring a computer in.
Well,
I bring paper in.
Yeah. Well, you need to bring a computer.
You bring your own damn computer.
He's an old-fashioned kind of guy.
I'm not good at that.
He likes paper.
1-800-323-9262.
That's the safest way to vote, I understand.
It goes into the recycler afterwards, by the way, if you're going to write a nasty letter.
1-800-323-9262. Boy, you got one of those looks on your face.
Yeah, you noticed that, huh?
Yeah, the punim. You've got the punim on your face.
He's got that, this business of the left side of his mustachioed mouth goes up. 1-800-323-9262.
You got a minute and a half here. 2 minutes here.
Oh, two minutes.
Keep talking, baby. Keep talking.
Okay. 2 minutes. 1-800-323-9262. We've got to do it. We've got to do it.
Can we just do a little conjecture here? Oh, no, we can't.
Because here's Amber. Hello, Amber. Thank you, Amber.
Yeah, okay.
Goodbye,
100.
Amber.
Okay. We're so close, folks. We're so close. 1-800-323-9262. But if the phones are ringing, that's good news, because you never give up hope.
Okay, let's do a one-minute lightning round. Why did Nikki Haley resign? Alan?
I don't have a thought.
Okay, Mike?
Well, evidently, Jim has instructed me that she was caught up in some kind of a scandal involving airplane rides.
Oh, boy. I suspect it's ethics, and she wants to get out before it breaks.
Or it may have to do
with Trump's fine.
It may have to do with
still have electoral chances.
She may be totally disgusted with Trump.
Or there may be another reason entirely, and we'll find out. I guess we'll find out momentarily.
A lot of people think she's a potential presidential candidate, really. Mm-hmm. And she's done very well at the United Nations. And they think maybe it's her feeling that the whole thing is going to collapse and she's got to get out from under it.
They say she'll be meeting in the Oval Office with the president at 10:30.
Hurry up. Hurry up.
Almost 10:30 now. We have 1 minute left here, Alan.
One minute.
Bring it home.
Bring it on home. 1-800-323-9262. And don't be writing me letters in the middle of the night.
How are we doing, Alan? Are we close?
We're the skin, the enamel on your teeth. That's
okay,
how close
so
we
just
are.
A few more calls. We just need a few more
calls.
That's
all we need.
And people, and we'll be over, we'll make our 10 grand. And what are you going to make if
and
we make
And the people in the valley 10? Will be happy.
Right.
And the children will have their toys. And
that's
their milk.
Right. But how much, what was the match?
What was the match?
$1,000.
$1,000.
Okay, well, you have 10 seconds. Do we make it?
Well, we'll find out. But in the meantime, we have to go, don't we?
Yes, we do, sir. And I want to thank Libby Post and Jim Hendler and Mike Spain and Alan Chartok. And keep those pledges coming, WAMC.org. Or you could call us, 800-323-9262. Lots more roundtable ahead. We have some good interviews coming up. We have book picks. Thank you for listening to the panel. And we'll be back.